The Cubs have changed minor league affiliates in a few levels this year. A few weeks ago, I spoke with Nathan Barnett of the Myrtle Beach Pelicans here on the podcast. This week, we have Chris Hagstrom from the South Bend Cubs. Chris, thanks for coming on the IVMV podcast.
Thanks, Corey. It's a pleasure to be here.
First off, welcome to the Cubs organization. I had the opportunity to meet you at Cubs convention, and it seems that you and the folks with the team there in South Bend, you seem pretty excited to be part of the Cubs system.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's no more of an iconic brand than the Chicago Cubs and the Cubs logo. So when we became the affiliate of the Chicago Cubs in September, and we announced our official name as the South Bend Cubs, a new logo in December, we've had nothing but support and outreach. There are, of course, you know, you always have some fans that, why'd you change from the Silverhawks? There's, you know, a few of those fans that were kind of a little upset that we switched over, but once they came out and they saw what we've been doing and what we've been doing with the brand and keeping Swoop around, I mean, we've had nothing but support since then. People were always upset that we weren't going to go with the Studebaker logo. The fans that were, you know, from the area, Studebaker is a very big part of the Michiana South Bend area, and when they saw how we incorporated the town and the legacy into the logo, they were, you know, they understand that we get it. And they were on board, and it's been nothing but positive reviews since.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not just the club that's excited to be part of the Cubs system. The fans in South Bend, from a distance, it looks like they've been very positive about the change in affiliation. I really enjoy Midwest League Baseball. I live between three affiliates, Peoria, Quad Cities, and Burlington. I've been to a lot of April Midwest League games, and they have not been well attended. And those are all three teams that draw pretty healthy numbers. But in April, I mean, it's cold, miserable weather. And I've literally been to games where I can count the crowd on both hands. But, in looking at your attendance numbers, it seems like the fans in South Bend are really excited about this relationship with the Cubs.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we have had already two record breakers, of course, first for opening day. An opening day attendance of over 7,000 fans, and then our new attendance record, which was set in 2013, we broke in April. 7,575 people is the new franchise record, and we expect to break that again this season. It's been, when you have those kind of numbers in April, you know you're going to have a very special season, and we've been looking forward to that. And we already actually have had to push back our Friday and Saturday gate times. We have to push those up an hour. So we now have gates open 2 hours before first pitch on Fridays and Saturdays, just because of the response we've had from the community. We want to get people in, let them get comfortable, get settled in, get their concessions items. While we don't have a small ballpark by any means, just the amount of foot traffic we have has been phenomenal. So we want to make sure that people have enough time to get what they need to get ready for the game. Hence the reason for pushing those times up a little bit. So the community has really taken to us, especially from not just a team standpoint, but also a franchise and a logo standpoint. It's absolutely phenomenal.
So the Cubs made several affiliation changes over the offseason, and player facilities were a reason that the changes were made, not necessarily the reason, but we did hear the Cubs talk about those things and what they valued with the individual affiliates. So can you tell us about the things that attracted the Cubs to South Bend?
Part of the reason were the plans of what we were going to do. You know, the Performance Center was really only a glimmer in the eye of Andrew Berlin when he spoke with the Chicago Cubs organization at the end of the 2014 championship, Midwest League Championship Series. When he spoke with them, it was really just an idea, and now I'm sitting out here at the stadium looking at the facility, the Performance Center, and it's just a huge building with an amazing facility for the Chicago Cubs organization, the, you know, weight room, the strength and conditioning rooms, the tunnels. It's an unbelievably beautiful facility. The field as well, formerly a artificial surface, now grass field. It's amazing how quickly that turned around. I mean, we started tearing up the field right at the end of our season. You know, Andrew Berlin wanted to go back to natural grass, and now, you know, at the end of October, the grass was in, had time to set in the off season, and now it's a beautiful, lush green. The clubhouse as well had been completely redone in Cubs colors now, and a lot of amenities added on for the players. And of course, the facility overall, an older facility, you know, only 1988. Well, it's not too old of a baseball stadium, but you know, received upgrades for the kids, you know, splash pad and fun zone. And while that's stuff that the Chicago Cubs don't necessarily need, they see the value in it from a fan standpoint. So the facility itself has been amazing. And of course, the audio video upgrades, with now that we're available to watch all home games on MILB.TV, HD cameras as well. So all those things went into how important of an upgrade it was for the Cubs to see, hey, we're going to put the time and the effort into the player development, and you'll be able to see that through their cameras as well as MILB-TV. So facilities were an important part of that.
I really want to commend you guys on your marketing efforts. You've already brought up the logos and stuff. The logos and the uniforms, I think they're great. You gave me a hat at Cubs Convention, and I wear it daily.
It's good. I would like to have that.
Minor league branding can be a little odd sometimes. I won't call out previous Midwest League Cubs affiliates publicly, but I'll say that this is the first time in a long time that I've worn merchandise by the Midwest League Cubs affiliate. Where can people outside of South Bend check out that merchandise?
All you have to do is log on to southbendcubs.com, and in the upper right corner, you can click on shop. And in our Cubs Den team store online, we have everything that you can get in the Cubs Den here at Four Winds Field. Of course, you have the New Era hats, which, as you saw at the Cubs convention, were an amazing hit. Nobody could buy them at the time, but they really were an amazing hit. And since they've been on sale, they've been our highest seller here at Four Winds Field and overall. And, of course, you have your youth apparel. You have your jerseys. You have all the novelties like logo baseballs and mini bats and keychains. Every week I'm out there at the store, I'm buying something new myself, just because we've done an amazing job from a branding standpoint of getting our logo on things. And we don't just have generic items. We have your name brand apparel, Nike, Under Armour. It's a good thing that I get paid, you know, twice a month, because otherwise I'd be in there every week with my paycheck probably going right into our merchandise. But it's anything you could think of, we're going to have there. And if there's something that you don't see, we certainly take suggestions as well. If fans email us, cubs@southbendcubs.com, and you've got a merchandise idea, we're all ears, because without the fans, without their input and their support, we really wouldn't be in a position that we're in right now.
I really like what you guys are doing with your social accounts too, Twitter and mainly Twitter, Facebook and stuff too. You guys do some really creative things with infographics during and after the games. If people are listening have not seen those yet, can you talk about that?
Absolutely. We work with a company called Box Out Media, and they've developed a program that allows us to input data while the game is going on, and it organizes it into an easy-to-read infographic, whether it has charts, circle charts, as well as player headshots. It makes it so much easier for us to get game information out to the fans. It organizes it really well, and it's, you know, quite honestly, it's nice to look at. It utilizes our logos. It has photos of our players. I'm looking at some past ones. Of course, it has the field in the background. It has our logo, the visiting team logo, and it has charts. So it's easy to see if how the pitching is doing, especially if you notice how many either hits they give up, if it's a really high number. Obviously, the bar graph is much higher. The strikeouts to walk ratio as well. So Box Out Designs did a fantastic job, and I recommend. I really think that this is what all minor league team should use. It's easy to organize, and it's easy on the staff as well. You don't have to be spending time in Photoshop trying to develop all this. It's a very easy to use system.
Yeah, and I mean, it's great, because if I see, you know, that you guys posted on Twitter or something like that, you can communicate so much more in that image than you can in a tweet or something like that, you know. And it's like, I love it, because it's just you have a real idea of what's going on in the game and where things are at. And a lot of stats that would probably get left out of some sort of quick little tweet update or something like that.
Yeah, there's only so much you can do in 140 characters in one tweet. And, you know, if you have to span all your stats and info over multiple tweets, sometimes the information can get lost. This way, in this image, it's all in one spot.
Right. So you tweet those out. You post those on Instagram, too?
Yes, we'll put them. We'll put them across three of our social media platforms: Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And with Instagram, we focus a little bit more on the creative, the artsy side of baseball. You know, there's something about just sitting at a stadium, watching the sunrise over the building, and you just capture those moments like that. That's kind of what we do more on our Instagram accounts. But we will post those on our Instagram as well, just to kind of keep fans in the know. But primarily Facebook and Twitter. That's kind of where we see a bulk of our. Of our stats and usage for those programs.
So since we're on the topic of social accounts, where can people find those?
You can go find us online at SB Cubs on Twitter. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/South Bend Cubs. And Instagram, we're also using the tag at SB Cubs. You can find us there. We actually even have a Pinterest account, too, that we've been working on developing. Look us up, South Bend Cubs there. Snapchat as well, SB Cubs on Snapchat. And on YouTube, we're trying to develop a little bit more with our YouTube page. It's youtube.com/South Bend Cubbies. You can find us all across those social media platforms. And a lot of our highlights you can actually just find on our website at southbendcubs.com.
Cool. So let's talk about the team on the field. There's a lot of really interesting players on this team. Many Cubs fans are getting their first chance to see Gleyber Torres, who is ranked as high as the number six prospect in the organization. For fans that have not been able to see Torres play yet, what have you seen from him just here in the first few weeks of the season?
You know, he first of all, he's a great person. And really all these guys are just great people in general. We got a chance to meet them when they first came in. They were wowed by the facilities. In fact, one of the players had said that, man, this is better than Wrigley. So just with the facilities and the amenities that we provide. But Gleyber Torres has been great on the field. Still kind of getting in comfortable with the shortstop position. I know there's been a few throws from shortstop to first base that have kind of, I don't want to say cost us the game, but they certainly played a pivotal point there. But at the plate, I mean, Gleyber Torres is phenomenal. He's great with his vision, really good as far as knowing his position in the order, in the lineup, being able to get the timely hits in the right spot, and his patience as well. Early on, maybe the first couple of games, I think he might have been just having some opening day jitters, but since then he's kind of calmed down and been very patient at the plate. So Gleyber Torres is obviously Baseball America and everybody else is talking about keeping an eye on him. Certainly has been an important part of this team. But, you know, somebody else that has been just tearing it up for us has been Cale Brockmeyer. Brockmeyer has been phenomenal for us, still hitting over 440 for an average and getting the extra base hits. He's been a staple as that number four spot and the cleanup spot for us. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I certainly hope he doesn't get called up too soon just because he's been phenomenal for this team and great for us in South Bend, keeping us in ball games. But I certainly would not be surprised if he gets a call up to Myrtle Beach soon.
Yeah, I do. Part of IVMV is it's another podcast called the Daily Northside Recap. It's just every morning I recap the games from the Cubs system, from the Cubs down through the minor leagues. And it feels like every morning I'm talking about Cale Brockmeyer.
He's been phenomenal. And, you know, what's really great is we always talk about the on-field importance of players, but off the field, he's been phenomenal with the media. There was actually a time here last week that there was a player a fan, 6 years old. It was his birthday, and he also spelled his name C-A-E-L, Cale. And he took the time to actually – he was catching that day. And, you know, normally when you have a player that's in the lineup, they don't necessarily do all the on-field stuff with the – catching the inaugural or the ceremonial first pitch, but he took the time to catch the pitch for the kid, get a photo, autograph the ball, and I guarantee you that that young Cale is going to remember that for the rest of his life.
Right. And Brockmeyer won the Midwest League Player of the Week award in the very first week of the season, right?
That's correct. He did win. He was the very first for the 2015 season, and certainly well-earned with all that he's done on the field as well as off the field. Cale Brockmeyer, the first player of the week, threw 11 games for the South Bend Cubs, 16 hits, 7 extra bases, and 25 total bases. He had led at the time in doubles, 6 at the time, and it just really has been a huge staple for the team.
So, and he is a catcher, correct?
Correct. He's a catcher. He also has been used at first base as well as a DH for us.
Okay. So, you know, things have kind of changed. We've been talking on the podcast a lot more here just in the last year about some of the, you know, receiving and things like that, those aspects of that position, that more to it than just the offensive side of things. I know that in, you know, lower levels of the minor leagues, it's kind of harder to tell just because the technology isn't there to be able to determine some of that stuff. But can you talk about him defensively, where he's at?
You know, defensively, I think he's right on par with where he needs to be. You know, his he's been working a lot with our pitchers, with framing, pop times, as well as work behind the plate and pop-ups as well. I know that all of our players have their own routine, and the coaching staff has their schedule for players as far as what they're working on, footwork, command, all that, for our pitchers, their command. So, I mean, he's right where he needs to be from a defensive standpoint. And, again, that was part of my concern as a fan here in South Bend, that he might get that call-up sooner rather than later. But, again, with the all the catching prospects that the Cubs have, certainly they may keep him here a little longer. You know, Kyle Schwarber, of course, you know, moving up as quickly as he has as well. So he's right where he needs to be, and I certainly look forward to seeing him spend a little more time down here in South Bend.
Okay, cool. So he seems like somebody that you think might be able to stick at the catcher position, and maybe we're not looking at a position change very
soon.
No,
I don't
soon.
Think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. I think he's settling comfortably there. You know, he's been a staple for us behind the plate, calming some of our players down when they're on the mound, and if they give up that late inning hit. He's been really a veteran overall for this club since he was, of course, you know, instrumental in Kane County as well. So I would definitely see him as being a leader of this team.
You also have some notable pitchers on the roster, I guess kind of starting with last year's second-round pick, Jake Stinnett.
Yeah, Jake Stinnett, kind of, I don't want to call him the tough-luck loser, but, I mean, he has been out there pitching fantastic for the Cubs and just hasn't had a chance to notch his win for multiple reasons. But Jake Stinnett, great command, great velocity, and hopefully looking to see him notch that first win if we can get a little offense behind him.
And Eric Leal seems to be pitching really well for you guys, too. You know, if some fans don't recognize his name, he came over in the trade, the Tony Campana trade with the Diamondbacks, and his numbers look really good. How does he look on the mound and kind of his presence?
Leal is doing very well. He kind of gets a little shaky to start. It seems like he maybe gives up that extra hit or a couple of walks early on. But once he gets settled in, he looks very comfortable on the mound, already 2-0 on the season, one of the lower ERAs on the staff overall. Obviously, his strikeouts to walk ratio is very good, 12-5 right now. And I definitely see Leal settling in very comfortably.
Well, now I'm glad I asked you about him, because now I know to pronounce it Leal instead of Leal.
You know, we actually, the first day when we were announcing the opening day rosters, we said Leal as well, because that's what we have all these player cheat sheets, and we ask all the players their names, and he wrote it out as Leal, and like, okay. And then we checked with Jimmy, and it was Leal. So Eric Leal.
You know, that's kind of the interesting thing of, you know, paying attention to all these minor league players and stuff. You don't hear their names pronounced really until, I guess, through like the MILB First Pitch app and stuff like that, you're able to listen to some of the radio broadcasts. You can kind of start picking it up. But for the most part, you're reading the names more. And so some of the pronunciations are a little confusing at times.
Yeah, and you know, my favorite is, I used to call him Balagert. It's Yasiel Balagert, our right fielder.
Okay, well, I've been pronouncing that wrong, too, so I'm glad I know that. Any other you'd like to clear up for me?
Roster, if you ever want to go through the whole roster, I mean, you got Gioscar Amaya. Everyone else seems to be pretty standard. Francisco Carrillo. I really got to get my accents down. But everybody else is pretty common. Jason Vossler. Tyler Eirig. Everybody else seems to be pretty standard.
I think I've been saying Bellegarde, so yeah, now I can, I'll have to jot that one down so I get that one right. Well,
I used to call the center fielder Chancellor Brooks instead of Charcer Burks. For whatever reason, I'm putting too many extra vowels in his name.
Right. Well, in wrapping things up here, minor league baseball is known for its promotions and events to help get people to the games. For anyone listening that's thinking about making a trip to South Bend to watch the Cubs, do you have any promotional nights that you'd like to promote?
Absolutely. My personal favorite is Back to the Future night, and that one is coming up on June 16th. We are going to have a DeLorean here. We have a Marty McFly and Doc Brown that'll be in attendance, and of course we have the theme jersey as well. And I guarantee you that I'm going to keep an eye out for our jersey auction to keep putting my name down, because I want one of those jerseys. They look fantastic with our logo on it, as well as the classic Marty McFly red vest on it as well. So you got to come out to Back to the Future night. We also have fireworks that night as well. We have Mick Foley, if you're a wrestling fan. Mick Foley is coming out on Father's Day, June 21st. He'll be throwing out the first pitch, as well as on that same day, we have a special giveaway, a pint glass giveaway. So if you're a father and you're looking for your South Bend Cubs pint glass, that's the day you're going to want to come out. Everybody has a Star Wars night. Of course, ours is June 20th. But we also have some of our other favorite days, Christmas in July and July 22nd. Fallen Heroes Day is something that we hold very closely in South Bend. It's been something we've done for the past 10 years in South Bend. We honor, of course, all of our heroes, our firefighters, police, EMS, our military personnel, for all they've done for the community, as well as protecting and serving. So that's a huge night. And of course, everybody loves their bobbleheads. August 22nd and 23rd are our bobblehead giveaway nights. So they'll want to come out and to see what bobblehead we're giving away that night. But as I mentioned earlier, any of our Friday and Saturday games, you're going to want to buy your tickets in advance, because we have been selling out. And in fact, on April 18th, when we set our new attendance record, we had to turn people away just from a fire code standpoint. There were just so many people in the park. So you want to get your tickets in advance for Fridays and Saturdays, and gates will open up an hour earlier for Fridays and Saturday games from here on out.
You mentioned the jersey auction. Is that just an in-house thing, or will there be access to that online?
That is just an in-house. So if you want to get the jerseys, you know, we'll have Star Wars jerseys. We have our Back to the Future jerseys. If you want to get involved on those, you're going to want to be here at the stadium for that. We just, at this point in time, we don't have the infrastructure to do an online jersey auction. There are some restrictions through minor league baseball with that as well. So if you want to do that, come out to the stadium. But hopefully in time we'll be able to work something out to do online. But this year it's all in stadium.
Well, I really hope to get to South Bend this year, but you will be coming to Burlington and Peoria in June. So I'll definitely be checking out the team there. For fans that aren't able to make it to South Bend, how can they listen or watch the South Bend Cubs games this year?
You can listen to all the games, all home and road, this season on, for those that are in the area, 96.1 FM and 960 AM WSBT. You can also listen to us at southbendcubs.com or on the TuneIn Radio app as well. We have a channel there that you can listen to all of our games. Darren Pritchett does a phenomenal job. This is his first season with us. And for those that don't know the story, South Bend had not had an actual over-the-air radio broadcast in about 4 years. So the fact that we've gone from no radio broadcast, all games, all season long, as well as video streaming, that was an actually absolutely remarkable, huge feat we were able to accomplish this offseason. And as I just alluded to, you can watch all home games online at MILB.TV. Sign up for your account there, and we love the fact that we can stream now. We have an HD in-house system. Not trying to call out minor league baseball, but if we had an HD encoder, the games on your computer would look a lot better. But we have an HD system in-house, so we're hoping to get an HD encoder from minor league baseball to make it look fantastic. And you know, there's so many different ways you can join us. And, of course, on Twitter. If you can't listen or you can't watch, you can always follow us on Twitter. We have in-game updates for home and road.
Well, Chris, thanks for your time, and thank you for coming on the podcast.
Corey, it was my pleasure, and let's do this again soon sometime.